Look, on the horizon, it's hope. Nah, just a mirage. Next on Principles and Policies. Welcome to today's edition of Principles and Policies. I'm your host, Barry Sheets, the Executive Director of the Institute for Principled Policy. And along with me today, as usual, in studio is our co-host, the Vice Chairman of the Institute, my fellow analyst and very good friend, Chuck Michaels.
Back in studio with a full belly after we just got done with that great big lunch.
Well, yes, that's right, folks. We're recording in the middle of the afternoon here today. We were waxing expansively on a number of issues, but Chuck, one of the issues that we didn't touch on, but a lot of people are touching on, especially here in the state of Ohio, is the fact that we are on the front end of a burgeoning industry in this state that is starting to create jobs, provide people with regular income in areas of the state that have been traditionally and historically lower income or depressed areas, and could have a long-term positive effect on our national economy as well. And that is the idea of oil and gas exploration and drilling in Ohio. Specifically, we set the crossroads of a couple of interesting geological formations in Ohio that are related to shale that is underneath the ground, especially in the northeast to the southeastern part of our state. There's the Utica Shale Formation, the Marcellus Shale Formation. People have heard about these before because what they've heard about them is in relation to hydraulic fracturing to get at those mineral and resources that are trapped inside the shale, also known commonly and derisively as fracking. Well, you know what, Chuck? No good deed can go unpunished. And believe you me, the Obama administration is definitely looking for a few good deeds to punish. So, again, as we've talked about on this program before, our president has decided that executive orders are a great way to legislate. And just as he did with earlier executive order that we talked about on this program, here's another executive order that was dropped in the afternoon on a Friday.
Well, that's sure the way it seems these days.
It seems like it.
And they understand the news cycle. They understand that Americans go to sleep on Friday about 5 o'clock and don't wake up again until Sunday night, right before they go to bed, about 9 o'clock on Sunday night.
Well, they also understand that the media and the press also goes to bed before 3 o'clock on a Friday afternoon, and that's usually they've already scheduled their Sunday talk show guests and their topics, so that at the very earliest that anybody could start raising a ruckus about something they're doing is Monday.
Yeah, exactly, and by that time there's something else in the hopper that takes the place of the thing that happened on Friday.
Right, because then it becomes old news, and nobody reports on old news.
Well, a pioneer in this, again, was Bill Clinton.
Yes, absolutely.
Who was the master of the Friday information dump.
Yeah, what we would call the Friday drive-by.
Right. And
well, Barack Obama has warmed up his gats. He's got his car, and the slicks on it are in great working order. And he did a nice little run-by on Friday to an industry that Ohio especially is looking to help bring us out of economic turmoil and back on firm ground economically, and that is the hydraulic fracturing and the exploration of our natural gas and our oil resources. However, like I said, the Obama administration can't leave any good deed unpunished, and so they issued an executive order, which still doesn't have a number yet. It seems to me it's taken them a while to put numbers on their executive
orders.
Well,
they're coming out so fast.
They're coming out so fast they can't keep up with the numbers.
They can't decide how to keep up with the numbering.
Now, this executive order, for those of you who want to go over to whitehouse.gov, to the press office, you can go to the website and you can pull down the latest executive orders from their briefing room under Presidential Actions, Executive Orders, from immediate release from the Office of the Press Secretary, Friday, April 13th, 2012. Executive Order supporting safe and responsible development of unconventional domestic natural gas resources. Folks, how many euphemisms are in just the title alone?
Yes.
Should give you an indication of how bad this order could very well end up becoming. So basically, they're saying that to support safe and responsible. Okay, according to who? Whose definition? Is it the definition of the federal regulatory bodies? Is it the definition of the states in which these activities are going to be taking place? Is it according to the companies who are going to have actual physical personnel on the ground working and trying to do this job? Who's determining safe and responsible? Now, before you say the federal government, I got news for you, ladies and gentlemen. It was a trick question. It's none of the above.
Well,
it's going to be the radical environmental special interests who are going to determine what's safe and responsible.
This is like the pretty girl in a magic act with the skimpy outfit. while everybody's got their attention distracted looking at her,
uh-huh.
the magician is busy doing things that he doesn't want you to see.
That's right. That's what they call it, sleight of hand.
Exactly.
Yes. So basically what Obama did, and it's not really a very long executive order, and I've got it pulled up here, full copy of it, basically says, but the authority vested in me as president by the Constitution, and we can talk about that on a later program.
That's right.
And
we've
the laws,
only got 15 minutes
here. And the laws of the United States of America, and in order to coordinate the efforts of federal agencies responsible for overseeing the safe and responsible development of unconventional domestic natural gas resources and associated infrastructure, and that's a key phrase there too, ladies and gentlemen, and to help reduce our dependence on oil, really?
Right.
It is hereby ordered. Then this first section is policy. And they spell out that, you know what? Natural gas provided 25% of the energy consumed in the United States. You know what? That's exactly right, ladies and gentlemen. As a matter of fact, you have many, many plants and industries, power stations, and everybody else who are going over to using natural gas because, number one, it's cheaper than coal-based resources. It's cheaper than oil. It's cheaper than a lot of things that they can use to power their industries.
It's also cleaner.
And it's much cleaner as well. So basically he said, okay, well, doing all this, and we've got this, and he says, and with appropriate safeguards, I love that phrase, appropriate safeguards, natural gas can provide a cleaner source of energy than other fossil fuels. For these reasons, it is vital that we take full advantage, and I should stop right there because that's exactly what he's up to. But, okay, I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. We should take full advantage of our natural gas resources while giving American families and communities confidence. When's the last time you had confidence coming out of a federal government agency, ladies and gentlemen?
Well, especially out of this particular White House.
That's right. That natural and cultural resources, air and water quality, and public health and safety will not be compromised. That entire list, natural resources, well, we know what he's talking about. That's a hat tip to the environmentalists. Cultural resources. What are we talking about here? Oh, I know. It's all the United Nations biodiversity areas and the federal lands that they won't let you drill in. So what they're basically saying is we're going to lock off about 70% of the country where this stuff actually exists and we could get to it easily and cheaply and make you go the long way around so it's going to cost you a lot more money. But you keep going here. Air and water quality. Okay, that's great. That's wonderful. But again, who's making the measurements and who says what quality's what? This should be local decision-making, ladies and gentlemen, but they're going to do this at the federal level.
Well, air quality. You're going to have worse air quality by switching from things like coal to natural gas? I don't think so,
yeah,
Barry.
Yeah, you and me both. That's right. Okay. And he says, while natural gas production is carried out by private firms, and that's a red flag right there, ladies and gentlemen, that's a signal. And he says, states are the primary regulators of onshore oil and gas activities. Remember, he prefaces by saying, while all that's true, the federal government has an important role to play. Gee, Chuck, can you pull out your Constitution and tell me what role at all the federal government has to play in natural gas production and onshore oil and gas activities?
Well, of course, there was no natural gas production in 1787, but...
Well, there was, and Benjamin Franklin wrote a treatise about it.
There are plenty of things in the Constitution that can be extrapolated out, and none of them reach out to natural gas and oil production.
But since the federal government has an important, I'm reading right from the executive order, has an important role to play by regulating oil and gas activities on public and Indian trust lands. Okay, well, that's great. So go ahead and do that if it's on federal. Go ahead and regulate there. But why are you putting this out here for the rest of us? Encouraging greater use of natural gas in transportation. Did you catch that, ladies and gentlemen? We're going to go to natural gas-powered cars. We've tried electric cars right now, so let's try natural gas-powered cars and see how much better
right.
that works. Supporting research and development aimed at improving the safety of natural gas development and transportation activities. And setting, and this is the one that makes me laugh every time I read it, setting sensible, cost-effective public health and environmental standards to implement federal law and augment state safeguards. I'm sorry, but there's no constitutional warrant for doing any of the above.
No, there isn't.
So what they're really saying is, so the feds can come in and tell the states what to do and override them because of the supremacy clause of Article 6 of the Constitution. We're going to pass a regulatory scheme by executive order. Now get this, because remember, Congress has not created this issue. The president has by executive order. And he says, because efforts to promote safe, responsible, and efficient development of unconventional domestic natural gas resources are underway at a number of executive departments and agencies. And that ought to scare us all, ladies and gentlemen, that we've got multiple federal agencies looking at how to promote safe, responsible, and efficient development of unconventional domestic natural gas. Now, folks, unconventional natural gas development just means one thing. hydraulic fracturing.
That's right.
It's fracking. This is an attack on the one type of energy exploration that actually might be cost effective and actually might get us out of our dependence on foreign oil, because people have figured out how to do it and how to do it well. Now, we've talked before about this issue and about some of the environmental concerns that are out there. But I think as we go along, just like with any type of technology, the more you use it and the more you work out any little bugs that might be in it, the better it gets. At least it's supposed to work that way. But then when you get regulatory interference, that's when things get slowed down, when things start not working well, and things actually start becoming counterproductive. But here we go. So what we're going to do is the order establishes a high-level interagency working group that will facilitate coordinated administration policy efforts to support safe and responsible unconventional domestic gas development. I got news for all the guys out there working in the fracking industry. You're about to lose your jobs.
That's right. And by the way, a working group is a committee.
A blue ribbon panel.
A blue ribbon panel. And just remember this, that a camel is a donkey designed by a committee.
That's right. Exactly. Now, this panel, this interagency working group, is to be chaired by the director of the Domestic Policy Council, and it includes at least deputy-level representatives or equivalent from each of these agencies. Department of Defense, Department of the Interior, Department of Agriculture, Department of Commerce, Department of Health and Human Services, Department of Transportation, Department of Energy, Department of Homeland Security, in EPA, the Council on Environmental Quality, the Office of Science and Technology Policy, Office of Management and Budget, National Economic Council. Honestly, Chuck, if you were actually going to pull together a bunch of people who might actually have a role in doing something with this, this sounds like a reasonable group, except for when you understand exactly what they're supposed to be doing, which is to coordinate all the federal agencies so that when they issue regulations, they're not tripping over each other. They can just go after the industry.
Let's get at the bottom line of all this, Barry. The bottom line here is this has nothing to do about developing America's energy resources. This has to do with stopping the development of America's energy resources.
That's right.
Because the ultimate plan of green types is not that we live in a society like we have now or improved over what we have now. It is that we go back to a 17th century society where basically we ride around in ox carts. We don't travel from place to place. The only people that can do that are the cultural elites, which would include the green types.
The green types, that's right.
Because they would be rulers. They would like us to have a two-class society, essentially the ruling class and those who make the rules, and they intend to be the people who make the rules. This may sound paranoid, but it's exactly part of Agenda 21 when you look into it.
That's right.
Even on a surface level, the idea is to jam us all together in high-rise urban communities and essentially stop us from being able to use any of the countryside for anything. Now, how exactly we're going to be jammed into these giant high-rise urban communities.
Think beehives.
Yeah, be a worker beehive with no energy policy. How you're going to live a 17th century existence in a 100-story building is frankly beyond me. You couldn't put out enough solar panels and wind energy to create the energy that would be necessary to cool that, to heat it, to drive any kind of a public transportation system that would be necessary if you cram 7 billion people. Well, of course, now I've forgotten that part of that is annihilation of about 5 to 6/7 of the current world's population.
Ah, I see. Yeah, you just missed that one little important piece of the puzzle, which is eliminate 5 out of every 6 people on the planet in order to get to that point where it'll work. And I think our friend Gary North over at the Tea Party Economist website, I think he hit the nail on the head, that this is a vast new regulatory system to control natural gas, because the fact that when we're switching over to natural gas and companies, it's pollution-free power, just like you talked about, that the environmental zealots cannot get the votes to stop energy development. That's their real agenda, so they've got to reverse what's happening by stopping it by regulation. So therefore, if they can stop this, then they can still control the votes in Congress. But if we allow the genie to get out of the bottle and capitalism to actually work in free market economics, where now that the price of natural gas has become desirable, companies are now investing, they're going in, they're finding it, they're bringing it, creating supply. There's a demand on the other side. It's a basic supply and demand economy curve. Oh, but if we put regulation in there and drive the price way up and reduce the supply, then the demand is going to push the price even higher. Therefore, we're back to where we started.
Right, exactly. And again, we're full circle, and What it comes down to is no energy for us. Energy for everybody in the ruling elite, no energy for us. Unfortunately, we're out of time.
But so call your congressman and you tell them it's time for them to stand up to the Obama administration and put a stop to these Friday drive-bys.
Join us again tomorrow for another Principles and Policies.